But we begin with the issue of childcare, and we're asking, how much are you and your family paying out on childcare in Clare? Because latest research shows that families of average income across the country are spending up to half of one salary to put two children in childcare. And it seems that when we compare ourselves to other countries and their approach to helping families in the childcare stakes, Ireland, unfortunately, I'm sad to say, is faring badly. So we want to know, how is this impacting on families in Clare? A little earlier, I spoke to Frances Byrne, Director of Policy at Early Childhood Ireland, to find out if this latest research from UNICEF is a true reflection of the situation here in Clare and Ireland in general.
In fact, if you look across the OECD countries, which would be the developed countries of the world, if you will, encompassing all of Europe, for example, we are the lowest on that league because that is a league that looks at investment in early years. So, unfortunately, we're the top of the UNICEF league, if you will, in fees. For that very reason. Historically, we just haven't invested what other countries have invested in this important area.
I'm guessing, Frances, when you use the word historically there, that means that perhaps you're not too surprised to see Ireland near the top of this particular research, that it has always been a bit of an issue. We've always been there or thereabouts when it comes to being the most expensive for childcare.
I'm afraid so. I mean, I'm saying historically because the last government did increase investment by 140%, but unfortunately, because you were coming from such a low base. So just to illustrate it, in Ireland in the last few years, we have invested 0.2% of gross domestic product. That may not be the best way of measuring it, but if you look at Sweden, for example, which is acknowledged to have the best childcare provision in the world, and where parents can be really clear about how much they will pay regardless of where they live, their family's income and so on. There's both a ceiling and a floor. So the poorest pay something, but the richest pay more, but that there's a ceiling on that. And they're spending 1.9% of GDP. So that gives you some idea of the scale of the challenge that is facing Ireland. And unfortunately, parents and providers and staff are left to pick up the pieces because as well as very high fees from take-home pay, we're also in a situation here in Ireland where we have staff on low pay and providers who are facing, you know, a lot of unsustainability year on year.
And that situation you mentioned there, Frances, where the workers themselves in childcare situations aren't paid very well, it just, how can that be the scenario when we're one of the most expensive countries for childcare? And I suppose, has the pandemic created an issue for staffing in the sense that maybe many people who were working within childcare went on the PUP payment? And we've heard that story about some people who, you know, as work returns, decide they're better off being on the PUP payment. It probably applies to quite a number of people who were working in childcare.
Well, actually, there's a slight good news story here, which is that the government introduced a specific employment wage subsidy for our sector. Now, they absolutely had to. It was in recognition of the low levels of investment and the fact that the sector wasn't on a sustainable footing when the pandemic hit. So that has actually allowed the majority of staff to maintain that link with settings as we have moved out of different phases of closures and lockdowns and so on. So when the sector reopened, and it was the only education sector to reopen at the end of June last year, the vast majority of staff were able to stay connected. About 10% of staff in the sector went on the pandemic unemployment payment, and they would have been part-time staff who would have been earning less than the 350 a week, and they made an economic decision supported by their employers. But Early Childhood Ireland has been told by members that they expect those staff to come back. The question mark will be over staff who worked in childcare settings who are from other countries. And depending on which part of the country you're in, that hugely varies. So certainly in Cork, Galway and Dublin, for example, you'd see a higher number of foreign nationals, if you will, from other EU countries. And whether they will come back or not and when they'll be able to come back is certainly a question mark. But the employment wage subsidy scheme, as Early Childhood Ireland has been saying to the government this all the way along, has actually been essential. And it has showed that if you maintain that link with the wages being paid by the government, not only the bulk of wages, I should say, not only are you maintaining the link between staff and their settings, which is very important for children, but also it means that providers can breathe a sigh of relief. And many of them have said to us in Clare and other areas that actually the EWSS, the Employment Wage Subsidy Scheme, has been a lifeline, and they wouldn't have got through the pandemic without it.
Just reading some comments, Frances, from Henrietta Ford, the executive director of UNICEF. She says the highest ranking countries in the report's league table combine affordability with quality of organised childcare. It sounds so simple when you read that comment. Why is it that we can't quite manage that combination?
We need, in the same way that my own nana used to talk about Donal O'Malley and introducing free education, that's what we need. We need a political champion who will see that this is the most important stage in children's lives. It's when most of our brain development happens. It's absolutely critical that we value it, that we value the staff who are working in the area. We need political champions. Early Childhood Ireland has been fighting hard for that, and I think that every parent listening to us this morning will be, you know, nodding to themselves saying yes, it's like a second mortgage. Regardless of where you are in the country, it is a huge expense, and as you say, other countries through careful investment have managed to guarantee quality, which is a really important point, and clarity for parents, so everybody knows exactly how much they will pay and people can plan their families properly and not have that great uncertainty that occurs between the end of maternity leave and the beginning of primary school. And certainly we need political champions and political leadership around that issue.
How hopeful are you that the political champion or champions are out there or in government?
Well, we were very disappointed with this year's budget. We were absolutely shocked at the lack of focus given that childcare hit the headlines in a big way, you know, between March and June last year and then again in the autumn. But we are hopeful. Minister O'Gorman has made commitments. There's a commitment in a document called First Five, which is our earlier strategy, which says that we will move to double investment by 2028. And Early Childhood Ireland certainly intends keeping, ensuring that the government keeps its promise. Post the pandemic, we would like to see that investment front-ended. Otherwise, as you say, we won't get the same quality that UNICEF is describing in other countries, and we certainly won't get affordability or certainty for parents if we don't see Minister O'Gorman and his cabinet colleagues making a very serious commitment and showing all of us a plan for how to double that investment. The promise has been made to children and their families, and now it needs to be kept.
Another element of this research that I was reading, Frances, that perhaps isn't that surprising is paternal leave. When it is offered, and it is always substantially shorter than the 32 weeks or so of leave at full pay for mothers, few fathers take it due to professional and cultural barriers. Perhaps that's changing a little bit, but it is disappointing that fathers, you know, who just as much need to spend valuable time with their newborn in the very early stages of their life, feel reluctant to do that or pressured because of as work commitments or whatever it might be.
Absolutely agree. And in fact, men who get to do it, men who either can take the financial hit, if you will, and have their wages reduced, you know, to go on the paid the benefit from social welfare, or men whose employers are able to or enlightened enough to top up their salary so they don't take a hit. But men who take it will tell you that it's the most wonderful time. They never regret doing it. But you're absolutely right. We know that there are nothing like the same levels of take-up as there is with maternity. We do have a major cultural issue. It's wonderful when you see leaders in corporate Ireland, you know, championing it. We need to see more of that in the public sector, the private sector. We need to also, you know, realise that and accept there is a reality here around people's wages falling. And we've often said in Early Childhood Ireland, we need a social dialogue about this. You know, the care and education of children, whether it's delivered by professionals in the setting, by childminders in their homes, or by parents at home, it isn't cheap, and as we say, it shouldn't be. So we do need a national conversation about who is going to pay for it and how will we support more dads to take up leave. Because as I said, when you meet a dad who has their champion and an ambassador for it, every one of them will tell you that they have no regrets and they just wish they could have done it for longer.
Just lastly, Frances, obviously with the pandemic, quite a number of childcare facilities have probably run into difficulties or had to permanently close. I'm not sure how far-reaching or wide that scenario is in the country. I do know within the Midwest I'd had certainly heard of a couple that had closed in the first few months of the pandemic. How widespread is it? And obviously it makes things a lot more difficult for parents.
Well, it isn't widespread. Now, that's very unhelpful if there are individual parents listening who are saying, well, my crèche closed. But in fact, nationally, last week we had the launch of what's called the Earlier Sector Profile, which is produced by PUBL, which is an organisation that administers childcare funding on behalf of the government. And it showed that there were 92 crèches opened last year, which given the fragility and all the negative stories that we heard might surprise people. Early Childhood Ireland isn't surprised. I think that when the pandemic hit, there was an understandable level of concern and worry, and there were certainly settings who sat down, looked at the economics and said, we're not going to be able to reopen. And it is only fair to acknowledge that government did step in. I spoke about the employment wage subsidy scheme. There were other supports that were put in place for crèches. That said, if we don't a plan for greater investment, we will see crèches having to close. We might also see parents walking off the pitch, so to speak, if fees don't go down, and making the economic choice that it isn't worthwhile, particularly after a second child, to go back to work. And de facto, that will reduce numbers in crèches. And if that happens, because of the way the system is set up, crèches may be looking at closing. So all the more reason why we need to see this plan from government, so that everybody in the scenario, not least children, but parents and providers and staff, can have certainty for the next few years.
So that's Frances Byrne, who's Director of Policy with Early Childhood Ireland, who spoke to me a little earlier on about the situation with childcare and the difficulties with the costs of childcare in this country. And this is on foot of this UNICEF report that Ireland is one of the most expensive countries for childcare, as half of a salary is the average cost. So I just want to know what it's like for you out there as a parent or parents trying to pay to put your children in childcare, and how difficult and expensive you are finding it. Let us know about your situation on 1850 400 964, or you can text or WhatsApp the show. It's 086 1800 964 to get in touch with Morning Focus. And to discuss the current situation facing families across the banner, I'm joined now this morning by Clare's Sinn Féin TD, Violet Ann Wynn. Violet Ann, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Alan.
Good morning to you. And I suppose as a mother of five, you'd know only too well how difficult it is to pay out for childcare in this country.
Absolutely. And I think the UNICEF report was quite stark in its findings there recently. And I think, you know, the issues facing childcare were there long before COVID, and they will be there long after COVID is gone, especially if government does not significantly ramp up investment in the sector. As we see it, the government is failing everyone. It's failing parents with some of the highest fees in Europe. It's failing workers who are some of the most highly qualified professionals in the wider education sector. Yes, that they are paid the lowest wages. We know that a recent Pubble survey found 55% of childcare workers are on less than the living wage of €12.30 per hour, and providers are struggling to keep their doors open. Yes, there has been COVID supports, you know, and they were welcome at the time when they were announced, but providers and those working in the sector are fearful that a cliff edge might be coming. So we are supportive of the ongoing review into the current funding model, but what we're saying is it cannot simply top up existing measures. It has to reimagine how we view the sector and how we back that with funding. In government, we would take on the wages of childcare workers. We would provide a robust and substantial sustainability fund for providers, and we would, over 2 years, reduce fees for parents, one-third in year one and two-thirds in year two. So this ambitious plan was fully costed as part of our alternative budget in 2021. We see childcare should be free, it should be high quality, and it should absolutely be accessible. Sinn Féin would transform the sector into a publicly funded model, like what happened with secondary schools.
Violet Ann, your party did have a go at this last year. You had a motion before the Dáil to which, if it had been successful, would have seen weekly childcare fees reduced by around 13% over the course of first year and by 66% over the course of the lifetime of the government. Of course, it was defeated. You described it as hugely disappointing. And how, as you said, how likely do you think anything will be to pass through government or for the government to do over the lifetime if it does last until about 2024? I mean, we heard Frances Byrne saying that we need to see a plan from the government and we need a political champion. Are they out there?
Well, that's it. I mean, we have brought forward that motion, and it was disappointing that the government didn't support it. You know, the reality is that there can be no economic recovery without a childcare system that works for all. And we know that childcare fees are too high, wages are too low. That is the reality that we hear daily from parents and workers in the childcare sector. Families need affordable, reliable childcare. And we know prolonged underinvestment by Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael has led to Ireland basically sleepwalking into a privately run and expensive system that cripples ordinary working families. And we know that parents feel let down by the current system. Many women and some men are in fact locked out of the workplace because childcare fees are too high. So we must ensure that no family, and in particular women, should not have to choose between employment or childcare. We must listen to families and ensure that their needs are met. You know, we see COVID-19 has added considerable additional strain and challenges, but it also presents us with an opportunity to completely overhaul the current broken childcare system. You know, we have recently seen that the National Childcare Scheme, for example, is in the spotlight due to a complaint being lodged by the Association of Childhood Professionals to the EU and Children's Ombudsman on the scheme's inherent discrimination against children from disadvantaged backgrounds. So we know that, you know, 20 hours a week is allocated for unemployed parents, but for parents in employment or education, for example, they get 40 hours a week. So this allocation of fewer hours to parents who are not in employment or education means that the most disadvantaged children are missing out, and this impacts on the delivery of really important services to our most disadvantaged children, like a hot meal, for example, help with their homework, and a stable environment for some part of their day.
The issue of paternal leave, which I broached with Frances Byrne earlier, Violet Ann, that there's still some sort of hang-up for fathers taking. Obviously, the paternal leave is a lot shorter than the maternal leave, but few fathers are taking it due to professional and cultural barriers. That trend is changing, but how do we affect more change? Because it is just as important or hugely important for the fathers to be there for the early stages of their child's life as it is for the mother.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, the UNICEF report highlights that very issue, and, you know, the executive director Henrietta Fore, you know, she touched on this when she alluded to the fact that government investment and family-friendly policies, including childcare, you know, that's so essential to ensure that parents have the necessary resources, time and services that they need to support their children at every stage of development. So, I mean, I think, you know, when it comes to the paternal leave, for example, yes, there are barriers there known, much the same as there are barriers when it comes to, I suppose, the women as well returning to the workforce. I mean, our spokesperson for children, disability, equality, integration and youth, Kathleen Funchin, recently did a survey called My Childcare Story, and almost 90% of women said that they felt childcare costs have been a barrier to them returning to the workforce. So there is a lot of work to be done on this issue, and in particular in breaking down those barriers to ensure that, you know, as many men avail of the paternal leave as possible. Men and fathers are hugely important in, I suppose, ensuring the development of our children. So part and parcel, they should, you know, be able to, you know, avail of the paternal leave much the same as women are able to return to the workforce also.
I have to say, it just seems like a strange situation where the cost of childcare is so expensive here that up to half of one salary in a family is needed to put two children in childcare, while at the same time affordable quality childcare is inaccessible in many of the world's wealthiest countries. It just seems so counterintuitive. And childcare workers being on low pay as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think when it comes to childcare, you know, it's compounded by all of these issues, and it's not ensuring that our children are receiving, I suppose, you know, the accessible and highly qualified, I suppose, service that is childcare. And I suppose, you know, when it comes to our children's development and also early intervention, it's crucial. So we do need ambitious investment from government, and we do need to see them, you know, really taking this issue and ensuring that there is enough investment to be able to ensure that there is free, accessible childcare for all.
Okay, we'll leave it there. But thank you very much for joining us on the show. That's Claire's TD for Sinn Féin, Violet Ann Wynne.